Good day and welcome to Steadfast Community Church Podcast. What you are about to listen to is a sermon from one of our Sunday morning services. We pray that this sermon would edify you and grow you in a deeper desire to love and serve Christ. We pray it would increase your love for God and His Word. And we also pray that through the teaching of His Word, that His grace and peace would be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, all for the purpose of His glory and praise. If you have any questions about the sermon, or would like to know more about Steadfast Community Church, please visit our website at steadfastcommunity.org. That is steadfastcommunity.org. God bless and have a good day.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm thankful to be here with you this morning as we look closely to God's Word and study it for all it's worth. I'm so thankful to be here, and it's such a joy the time that we've spent studying through this wonderful letter to the Colossian church. And so if you would, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We'll be primarily in verses 12 through 14 today, but it is connected to last week's passage. So Colossians chapter 1, we're going to primarily be in verses 12 through 11. Last week, if you were with us, we began in chapter 1 verse 9, a petition of prayer that Paul was praying to the Father on behalf of this new young church in Colossae. He was praying that they would have a life that would begin to mature, that there would be an outcome in their life, that they would not be stagnant in their faith, but that they would mature and be sanctified further in the faith that they have in Jesus Christ. And this week now we see, in light of the work that Christ has done, he now prays that this church would be thankful for the work that Christ has already done, the salvation that they already have in Christ. And so last week, 9 through 11, was this godly knowledge, that they would be filled with this godly knowledge, right? And that this not godly knowledge would then cause them to live in a manner worthy of the Lord, that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that it would cause gospel fruit to be produced in their life, that they would continue to increase in their knowledge of God, that they would be steadfast and patient in the Lord because of the power of God. That's what we saw last week. And this week, we're going to see further that they're going to thank God for the work that he's done in their life. Thank God for the salvation that has come to them. Thank God for them being qualified to inherit the kingdom of God. There are many things that you and I can be thankful for in our life. I'm sure as I say, what are you thankful for, you can think of many different things in your life that you're thankful for. Of course, you're thankful for your life that God has granted to you. You have life because He has given it to you. I'm sure you're thankful for the health that God has given you, for a family that you have, for friends, friendships, for jobs. If you have a secure job, it's a great thing to be thankful for a house or a roof over your head, for a car to get to this building today, for food in your stomach, for freedom in our country, education for children and for yourself, grocery stores, electricity, AC, heat, all the things you can continue to add to this list. There are plenty of things that we can list out that we are thankful for. But Paul doesn't list any of those things. He's not saying these are the things that we should be most thankful for. In this passage, what we're going to see today is what Paul says Christians should be most thankful for, the number one thing for which Christians should praise God, and that's for the salvation that He has given to them. By the grace of God, He has given salvation to His children. That is what Christians should be most thankful for. So look at our passage today. We're actually going to read from verse 9, and we're going to go through verse 14, but our primary focus will be verse 12 through 14. Look there with me now, if you would, starting in verse 9. "For this reason, also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, now our passage today, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is reason for joy. That's why Paul starts by saying, joyously giving thanks to the Father. This is reason for praise and thanksgiving, because he begins with the inheritance of the saints in light. This inheritance is all, and everything else in these verses that we're going to cover today, is all in reference to the doctrine of salvation. So Paul is reminding them, remember, I'm praying that you would be mature, that you would be sanctified in your faith, that God would fill you with His knowledge, that He would produce gospel fruit in your life, that you would remain steadfast in patience because of the power of God. He's praying for those things to continue to develop in their life. But now, he's saying this is something that's already done. This is something that Christ has already accomplished by His work on the cross. If you are in Christ, this is something that you already have, something that you already share in. And so the title of this sermon today, in light of the passage that we see here, is Joyful Thanksgiving for the Work of Christ. The title, if you've noticed over the time that we've been meeting, when we have a title for a sermon or points in the passage, it's not done from my own wit or my own intelligence or fanciness. It's not done from myself. It's because this is what we see in the Scriptures. That's the beauty of expository preaching, is that we look at God's Word, we see what it says, and then we just explain it. It's nothing fancy. It's just taking what God's Word says and delivering it to the people of God so that they can be matured, sanctified, encouraged, and be thankful to God for the work that He has done. So today, the title is Joyful Thanksgiving for the Work of Christ. That's the work of Christ that he had finished on the cross. So the title and points all point to, you're going to find this in these verses. I'm going to show you today how we see this. This is how we teach, because we believe it's most faithful to God's Word. The points that we're going to see in verses 12 through 14, look now as I just list these off. Verse 12 through 14, first what we're going to see, as this all relates to the doctrine of salvation, first in verse 12 we're going to see giving thanks. So Paul is encouraging them to give thanks for his inheritance. That's the inheritance that all the saints share. Second, what we're going to see in verse 13a is give thanks for his deliverance. That's deliverance from the domain of darkness. And then our third observation, we're going to see give thanks for his transference. That is, that God transfers from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And then how? There is a how. We see that all of this has occurred for those who are in Christ. We understand that God is the one who qualifies. But how does he do it? He does it through the work of Christ on the cross, through his Son, the one he had sent to be manifest in this world for the purpose of dying to redeem sinners to himself for his glory. That's what we're going to see today, and I want you to notice that. And notice how Paul prayed in verses 9 through 11. We won't read them again, but you notice that he is praying for them. He is praying for the Colossian church. He's addressing them directly, that you would, is what he says, praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And when we get to verse 12, he transitions now to us. When you look at the grammar, you see the transition from you, the Colossian believers, that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, and to verse 12, to us, that we all share in the inheritance that is for all the saints in light. So he's transferring now. This is for all believers, all Christians. This is something that is already done. This is not super important, but in the Greek, it's what's referred to aorist tense, something that's already done, past tense. But when it gets to this passage, it's something that is already done. So the Colossians already share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's what Paul's saying. You already share in this inheritance. You already are delivered from the domain of darkness, and you are already transferred to the kingdom of the Son. Can you think about that for a second? If you are in Christ right now, if you genuinely have true faith, saving faith, true, genuine hope in the gospel truth, then you already share in this inheritance. You're already delivered from death to life. You're already transferred from the dominion of darkness, which is the Satan, where Satan is, it's death. You're already transferred from that to the kingdom of God. That is a beautiful thing. That is a thing to praise, to joyously praise God, to give thanks to God for. This is what Paul is saying to them. And then he gets to the how. He says, yes, all this you already share in. You've already been delivered from darkness to light. And the how is through the redemption of Jesus Christ, which is the forgiveness of sins. Christians live in the current reality of the redemption of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you truly are a Christian, you already share in this. It's a beautiful thing. So praise God for His mercy and for His grace. This number one ultimate reason is to praise God the Father for Him who qualifies. He qualifies, saints. So look at verse 12. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a bunch of Bibles on that table in the back. So please grab one, turn there with us. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 12. It says, giving thanks, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. And when I think of this passage, it first draws my mind to verses 3 through 5, where Paul began this. He says very similar words. He says this in verse 3, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Notice he is thanking God the Father for both. He's thanking God the Father for their faith that they have, their love for all the saints and their hope in the gospel of truth. And here he is telling them again, he is going from thanking God for their faith, now telling them, thank God for the work that he has done in your life. Thank him, because he is the one who has done it. He is the one who has qualified. He is the one who has saved. He is the one who has delivered you and transferred you. He is the one who has done it, is what we see. And as we look at verse 12, that's where we see our first point, give thanks for his inheritance. If you truly share in this inheritance, you should be thanking God for this inheritance every single day of your life. Because without him, without his qualifying you, you would be stuck in the domain of darkness. And so would I. This is all by his doing. It says that he qualified us. So what is this inheritance? I told you that it does deal with salvation, but there is some deeper meaning that we're not going to be able to get into the deepest part, but we're going to cover it broadly. The inheritance which we all share in does refer to salvation. And what we also need to notice is that this, and how we know this refers to salvation, is because of verse 14, where he says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That redemption is a purchase, that you have been bought, that you there is a payment that was owed, and there was a ransom that was needed, and it was paid. So we know this refers to salvation. And when we get to this, when he says inheritance, we need to ask that question, well, what is this inheritance? I know it has to do with salvation, but there is some deeper meaning behind it. And it has a lot to do with Old Testament readings, Old Testament scriptures. It's more than that, but let me read to you from Genesis chapter 13 and show you where it has just a slight echo from Old Testament scriptures. The Lord said to Abraham, this is Genesis chapter 13. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see. I will give it to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So notice he said, I will give it to you. Continue to read. So that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through it, through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Continue to read. The promised inheritance was to Abraham and also to Moses. And then it was renewed to Israel. In Numbers 26, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, among these the land shall be divided for an inheritance, according to the numbers, a number of names. Yes, there is an echo of Old Testament scriptures, but this inheritance that Paul is referring to is much greater than land. It's much greater than the land of Canaan. This is eternal inheritance, is what Paul is referring to. There was an inheritance that he gave to his people and land, but now there is something that is eternal. What he is talking about here. The Old Testament scriptures shed light to this inheritance that would come, the internal inheritance of salvation. And when we see this, this is why Paul says, giving thanks to who? The Father who has qualified us. When we see this inheritance, it's not something that you have earned. It is not something that you have worked towards. This is an inheritance that is done by the Father. That's why it says He has qualified us. So we give Him all the glory. For He has qualified both Paul and the Colossian believers. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. This is a gift that we cannot fathom, a gift that we cannot lay hold of on our own. This is done by the Father, as verse 12 says, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Now, when you think of qualification, when you think of that word, qualification for inheritance, what is this qualification? When you think of a job that maybe you had to work towards, that you had to be certified or qualified to do, somebody who is qualified to be a welder had to have worked towards that. They had to have done school, trade work, been trained, all those things to be qualified to be a welder. Or you think of athletics, CrossFit, for example. To go to the games of CrossFit, you have to compete and then be qualified for those games by meeting all those expectations. Paul is saying, you don't do that. This is God who qualifies. You cannot earn your salvation because it's impossible on your behalf. You're not holy. You're not perfect. You cannot work your way to the kingdom of God. So Paul says, He has qualified. He has done it. Give thanks to the Father for that because He has qualified you. It's not because the Colossian believers were so holy or good. They didn't earn their way to God. God has done it through the beauty of His gospel, that people hear it, they believe it, they embrace it, and God saves them through it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Here again, Paul says, it is the work of God. It's a gift from Him that He has gifted to you because you cannot earn your salvation. It's all for the glory of God. He has done it so that you may not boast. Because when you don't boast because of something you did not do, God gets all the glory. That's why Paul is saying, thank the Father because He has done it. And just as God has qualified them and made them fit, that's what this word means, qualified. It's being made fit, being made right. That's what it means to be made fit for something. So these Colossian believers, Paul is telling them to thank God because they have been made fit for the inheritance. And they share in this inheritance with all the saints in light. This is what Paul is getting at. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we see how Paul has done this. It's through Christ, because of Christ, because of the work of Christ that He has done, that He has imputed to the people. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him, that's Christ, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become, what? The righteousness of God in Him, that's in Christ. It's His righteousness. It's His goodness. It's His sacrifice. It's His work. He has done it. He is the one through Jesus Christ that the Father has qualified the saints to share in this inheritance. So again, the qualifying is an act of God. And the reason one can share in the inheritance is because of Christ. It's the beauty of the work that Christ has done on the cross. On the cross. Look now at the screen. I'm going to read several verses. It's Ephesians chapter 1. And it should say verse 11 through 19. I might have had a typo in there and said 1 through 19. We're not going to read that many verses. But 11 through 19. This is part of the doxology in the beginning of Ephesians, where Paul is praising God for the salvation that He has given to His people. And if we really started in verse 3, we would see that God the Father has chosen and has enacted salvation on His people, and He's done it through His Son and sealed by the Holy Spirit. But let's read from verse 11. It says this. I'm going to emphasize several areas to show who did it, who did the work. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, similar wording, having been predestined according to what? His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. For this reason, I too have heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints. Do not cease giving thanks for you. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and of what the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. If that does not sound like verses 9 through 14, we need to read it again. It's almost parallel to what we've been reading. Paul is reiterating this. He is pointing it out that it's by His work that people are saved. It's by His work on the cross, by the Father's sovereignty over salvation, that He is doing the work. Notice when, in those verses, we won't spend any more time on it, but Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 19, we see the inheritance in there, which is salvation. We see the work that is done through Christ. We see that it's according to God's will, and that it's very closely related to the letter that we're reading right now. This inheritance that is all by God's grace. He has made His saints, which we see in verse 12, look back there again, giving thanks to the Father. We already know that He is the one who has qualified. We understand that qualified is being made fit for this inheritance, which is eternal salvation through the work of Christ. And what we share is with all the saints in light. Now this means that we are set apart, made holy for a purpose of God, for His glory. Saints are set apart. This is those who have been made holy. They're a holy priesthood, as Peter would say, set aside for His purpose. This is a work that God has done, and we see it in saints. Paul has reiterated this in verse 2 of chapter 1, verse 4 of chapter 1, verse 26 of chapter 1, and chapter 3, 12. Paul has reiterated saints. These are His people, God's people who are holy, set apart for the work of the Lord, for His glory. Acts 20, 32 says this, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." This is by the word of God's grace, "which is able to" what? "To build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So saints who are set apart and made holy is what Paul prayed for in verses 9 through 11, that they would be sanctified, that they would be matured, and that it would be done through the word of God. So by the word of His grace are people built up, and they obtain this inheritance that is given to them by God, because they are truly sanctified through His Word. That's the only possible way that people can be sanctified. Often, some people may say, "Well, I don't go to church. I don't gather on Sundays because I just study the Bible on my own." I saw a quote the other day. If that was true, then you would gather with the saints. Because if you are truly reading your Bible, you would not refrain from gathering with the saints, because the Bible tells you to do that. Because that is how you are encouraged. That is how you're edified. That is how God sanctifies His people. So this is what we see, is by the word of His grace, His people are sanctified and matured. And they'll have a knowledge of this beautiful inheritance that God has qualified them for. So He has qualified for all the saints to share with all the saints who are in the light. And this light is where God dwells. This light is Christ Himself. This light is done by Him. John 1 through 7 says this, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life," that's Christ, "and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also." Why? "So that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and yet we walk, in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We see that God is light, and those who are in Him walk in the light. You don't participate with the darkness, because the darkness is not of God. He is of light. So we see that at the end of verse 12 is where He's pointing this to. This inheritance that you share with all the saints in light is where God is. You're sharing in that inheritance of God. So give thanks to Him. Praise His name. For He is the one who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of all the saints. So do not fellowship in darkness. Fellowship in the light, where God is. We see that all in verse 12. The inheritance is what Paul is thanking God for. He is thanking God not only on behalf of the Colossian believers, but on Himself. That's why he says us, that we all share in. We all need to thank God for this beautiful inheritance that we share in with all the saints. It's done by Him, and we fellowship with the Father. We fellowship with the Son. Although we are here on this earth in our fleshly state, know that if you are genuinely in Christ, you currently share in this inheritance. It's a beautiful thing. It may seem impossible to fathom because there is so much sin in this world and you still struggle with it, as do I. But God says you already share in this inheritance. If you are genuinely saved by the grace of God, by faith in His Son, then you share in this inheritance. Verse 12, as we see this contrast between light, going into verse 13, we see a contrast between good and evil, between God and Satan, between life and death. So look at verse 12 at the end, where he says, who has qualified, the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness, or it could say, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. The next two points I'm going to cover pretty much hand in hand. So 2 and 3 is what we see all in verse 13. We're going to see the deliverance or the transference from the domain of darkness, or delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His Son. So the second one is giving thanks, or give thanks to His for His deliverance and give thanks for His transference. Just like the Old Testament echoes that we saw in verse 12, we see two Old Testament echoes in verses 13. We're not going to get into it, but Exodus 6 and 14 through 14, we see where God has delivered His people under the bondage of slavery of Pharaoh in Egypt. He delivers them through and transfers them through the Red Sea to safety, where they are safe from the bondage of Egypt, the bondage of Pharaoh. That's an echo. Paul has a much greater one, where you are delivered from the domain of darkness. That is where Satan is. That is death. You're delivered from that and transferred to the kingdom where there is God and there is life. That's what we see in verse 13. We're delivered from that and transferred to the kingdom of God. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announce to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. We read this earlier. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That God is light. There is no darkness in Him. So if you have truly been delivered from darkness to light, you should be fighting against any part of darkness in your life. Does not mean you won't sin. You will. We're still in the flesh. But this is what God is delivering us from and to. As we were walking, this is before Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you the contrast also in Ephesians chapter 2, where we see death. We see darkness, and then we see light and life. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. This is the part of death. Paul says this to the Ephesian believers. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. This is when you are in the domain of darkness, at the beginning of verse 13, this is where Paul is saying they once dwelled, in the domain of darkness. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. But the grace of God says this in verse 4, where Paul shows that contrast. That this is where you once were. You were dead. Don't forget this. But God has done this. Look at verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when you were dead, and when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ. That's the inheritance in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that you would walk in them. I know we're reading a lot of Scripture, but I want to prove to you that God's Word is not silent about this issue. It's all over the Bible. He is clear in how He has saved and how He is delivering from the domain of darkness and transferring to the kingdom of God. It's very clear. It's all over the Bible. There are similarities even in Paul's own testimony of this very thing, being transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. Look at Acts 26, 12 through 18. Paul says this as he's being questioned. He says, "While so engaged as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me, and those who were journeying with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you.'" And he says this, "to open their eyes." This is why he's commissioning Paul. "To open their eyes so that they may turn from" what? "From darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." Notice that he has commissioned Paul for this specific work, that he would be a gospel minister to people who are dead in their sins, who are currently in the domain of darkness, that they would have their eyes opened from the domain of darkness and they would see light, that they would see the beauty of the gospel, that they would share in the inheritance of the saints in light for the forgiveness of sins. This is what Paul says of his own testimony, of his own deliverance from sin and death to life and the inheritance of God. This is what Paul is saying in his own testimony, that this is why he was commissioned, so that he could go and bring the gospel to people who are currently dead in their sins. And I tell you right now, if you do not know Christ, this is also why I am preaching to you. One, for the sanctification of the saints, but also for those who don't know Christ, that they would have their eyes opened and that they would see the beauty of the gospel. This is what Paul is preaching in this passage here. He's telling them to be so thankful to God for the salvation that they currently share in. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11 says this, "For God has not destined us for wrath." This is talking to saints. "God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. This is for the saints, is what he is saying, that if you are in Christ, if you share in this inheritance, you're not under God's wrath. But if you have rejected Christ, the wrath of God remains on you. Paul is warning against this, and many of, we're going to see that in this passage, in this book, this letter. But this verse, we see a deliverance. A deliverance from the domain of darkness. 13a, look at 13a. For he rescued us. That is, to take you from something that is dangerous. To take you away from something that's going to kill you. He's rescued you from that. And then he has transferred you, transferred the saints to the kingdom of God. We see that in verse 13. The kingdom is, this kingdom is not a temporal kingdom. It's not, it's eternal. It's everlasting. It will never end. This is the inheritance that you have. It is permanent, eternal. This is what we have in 2 Peter 1, 11. It says this, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. He says the entrance into the eternal kingdom. This is the inheritance of the saints. God's kingdom is eternal. This inheritance that you have is forever if you are in Christ. It will never end. This is what Paul is saying to them. You're permanently delivered from the domain of darkness and permanently transferred to the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of his Son. This is permanent, eternal, never ends, for he never ends. Ephesians 5, 6 to 14 says this, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This light is Christ, and it is by him that you are made holy. You see this contrast that Paul is painting here in verse 13 is death and life, darkness and light, Satan and God. This is what he is painting here in these verses. This is the inheritance that the saints share in. This is all done by God. Paul is giving thanks, a thanksgiving prayer for the work already done in the life of a believer. They have been delivered from death under the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of the Son in light. I know this is something that we often take for granted. All right, I'm already saved. I've already professed faith in Christ. I'm good. I don't need to continue to be thankful for this. Paul disagrees. He says, this is the work that Christ has done. I've heard of your genuine faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints and the hope that you have in the gospel of truth. Praise God for that. Don't forget to thank him for it. Continually thank him for the work that he has done, because he has qualified you in the for the inheritance in the saints. He has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you to the kingdom of light. And he has done all of it through his Son. This is so that you do not boast, but do not forget to thank God for the work that he has done. God did this great work. This is a God work that he has done. This is not a work of ourselves. And so as we see from verse 13 going into verse 14, he says, look at verse 13 going into 14. He says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom. Sorry, I lost my place. To the kingdom of his beloved Son. And he says how he does it. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we are transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, and it's through his Son that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This word redemption is being bought. There is a ransom, a wage, a payment, something that is owed for your behalf, my behalf, everyone's behalf. There is a payment. There is something that is owed. There is a debt. And so it's saying by Jesus, by His Son, there is redemption. There's already payment. It's already been covered. You were a slave to sin. You were under bondage of sin. You were slave to sin. And He has freed you from it. He has delivered you from that. He has paid your debt by His blood on the cross, which is the forgiveness of sins. Your debt is because of your sins. My debt is because of my sins. And it says that Jesus, He's the one who has redeemed. He is the one who has purchased you from that bondage. He has redeemed you. That's why verse 14 says, in whom, that's in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, which brings us to our last thing in verse 14 where it says, how? How He does this? How is this all possible? Through the work of Christ on the cross. It's not by your doing. It's not by my doing. You didn't die on the cross. Even if you did, it wouldn't have been enough. Jesus died on the cross. So verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption. God does the qualifying, He does the delivering, and He does the transferring, and He has chosen to do all of that through His own Son, that He sent to live and dwell among His own creation so that He would be murdered by His own creation. Because in His death, there is life. In believing in Him, there is life. John chapter 1, verse 4 says this, in Him, that's in Christ, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. We see the inheritance is where we share in light. In Him is life. And His life is the light of men. And we proclaim Him. We proclaim Christ and only Christ. Him and Him crucified is what we proclaim. Acts 26, 18 says this, that we proclaim Him for this purpose, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in Me. That's in Jesus Christ. That's why we proclaim Christ, is so people's eyes would be opened, that they would see their sin and the weight of it, that they would have their eyes open to the danger of the domain of darkness, and that they would be transferred into light, the kingdom of God. John 8, 12, Jesus said this about Himself. I am the light of the world. He who follows Me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the light, and only is He the light. And in Him, if you walk in Him, genuinely, your life is devoted to Him. You have repented, believed the gospel, embraced it for all it's worth, then you are walking in the light. He is the light. You see, verse 14, this redemption which believers have in Christ is so clearly by the means of God's qualifying, His delivering, His transferring to His kingdom. And it's all done by the redemption in His Son, which is a payment for your sins. And if you do not fall to your knees and thank God for this beautiful work, then I would question whether you actually understand this grace of God. It is a beautiful thing. It is a thing that we should be praising God for daily. Paul immediately went to that where he says, I'm so thankful for the work that You have done in their lives, that they have genuine faith and love for all the saints and hope in the gospel truth. I'm so thankful for that. I pray that You would continue to mature them, sanctify them, fill them with the knowledge of Your will. All these things would be true, that their life would bear fruit. Most importantly, I pray that this group of believers, this young church in Colossae, would thank You and praise You for the work that You have done in their life, for how You have caused them to inherit with all the saints in light, that You have transferred them from darkness, saved their very soul, and transferred them to Your kingdom. Thank God for that. We must regularly thank God for that. That's why he goes back to verse 3 and 4. The redemption which we have is already done. It's already accomplished in Christ. It's something that God has made you fit for if you are in Christ. Ephesians 1, 7 says this about redemption. In Him we have redemption. Through what? His blood, His sacrifice. It's not by the actual blood. It's by His death on the cross because He shed His blood. It's not in the liquid of the blood. It's in His death that you have salvation. That when you truly believe that the Messiah, the Son of God, the Word of God, God made flesh, when you genuinely believe that He came and lived on this earth for the purpose of dying and was crucified on the cross, buried, rose 3 days later, and ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father, when you genuinely believe that with all its worth, then He says that you have salvation. That is, by repenting of your sins, turning away from all that you love of this world, and turning to Him, believing in Him. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." There is no other way. It's by Him, only through Him. And when you go through Christ, which is the only possible way, then you have the inheritance, which is in the saints. You're delivered from death to life. And you share in the inheritance of all the saints. This is what Paul is getting across here. Be reminded of this. Do not forget. Thank God for your salvation. In Christ there is forgiveness of sins. And only through Him. It's the cleansing of your sinful state. Before Christ, you were stained with sin. You're black. You're dark because of your sin. And because of that sin, you were under the wrath of God. But after repenting of your sins, embracing the gospel, that's why Jesus said in the very beginning of His ministry, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what He's talking about. Romans 3:23-26 says this, that all need cleansing. All have sinned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He has done it. It's His righteousness. He has died. And if you haven't genuinely confessed your sins, if you haven't repented and believed the gospel, I encourage you to do so. I will always be here afterwards to talk with you, but I encourage you that this is serious. This has to do with death and life. This is an eternal state of death or an eternal state of life. There is a real hell and there is a real heaven. This is a reality. And Paul is saying, praise God that He has saved this young church in Colossae. Don't forget about the work that Christ has done in your life. 1 John 1:9 says how we are forgiven of our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. This is a work that God has done, and He has given His word so graciously to His people that it would be proclaimed, that His truth would go forth to the world, that people would hear the truth, and in hearing, they would believe it. And they would repent of their sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead, and they will be saved. This is genuinely how God has intended salvation to work, that you would hear the truth, that you would hear the truth that you're a sinner, that I would hear the truth that I'm a sinner, and that in hearing that, and hearing the beautiful grace of God's gospel, that you would see that, you would hear it, and believe it, embrace it, repent of your sins, and run after Christ. This is what we see in this picture, and Paul's reminding them to be thankful for this. Paul's reminding them, thank God the Father, who has qualified you and qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is reminding them once again, remember the beauty of the gospel. Remember where He has taken you from. You were a slave to sin, and now He's transferred you to His kingdom, where there is life. He is the light of the men who have who he has called to himself. And so today, this is what we saw through Paul's prayer. He petitioned that they would be matured, but then he also thanked God for the truth. And so what we saw is that we would give thanks for his inheritance. That's in verse 12. That we would give thanks for his deliverance from the domain of darkness. That we would give thanks for his transference to the kingdom of his Son. And that we would be reminded that it's only through his Son, through the work of Christ on the cross. That's how he's done it. So I pray that you would be reminded of that. And if you have not truly embraced this beautiful gospel, I pray that you would. That you would go before the Lord, confess your sins. That you would repent of those sins. That you would cling to the truth of his gospel. That it would be something that you believe. Because without it, there is no way to the Father. Without it, you're currently under the wrath of God. And God paints hell as a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there is a worm that is never filled. It is a horrible place, and God is just to do so. So I pray that you would be reminded of this. If you are in Christ, praise Him. If you are in Christ, thank Him for the salvation that He has given you. And if you are not, repent and believe the gospel and cling to Him. Because if you do, you will share in the inheritance. You will be delivered from the domain of darkness, and you will be transferred to the kingdom of His Son, all by His Son. Join me as I pray over this message that it would be true in your life and mine. Father, Lord, I thank you for the reminder of your gospel. Father, I thank you for the beautiful truth that we have to share in this gospel. Father, that you have qualified us for the inheritance which is shared with all the saints in light, that you have rescued us and delivered us from the domain of darkness, Father, and transferred us to your kingdom. I thank you for that, Father, and I praise you for the redemption that is through your Son, that you have saved us if we are in Christ, Lord. I thank you for that by your grace, and Father, that we would be reminded of this daily, that it would be something we fall on our knees, that we cry in disbelief that you have genuinely saved a wretched sinner like us. So, Father, I pray that this would be true of everyone in this room, and that if it's not, Lord, that they would truly embrace your gospel, that they would repent and believe. In Jesus' name, amen.